May a piece of AI be a teacher, I love you. May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? My name is Yashun, Deacon Yashun Kids. I'd like to serve you as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for sound services.
May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Shalabo, Adiah Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. Our privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Shalabo now entering the sanctuary. Our privilege and honor to present to you Sonny Shalabo, Buffalo Bill Hawkins. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seen. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My title today is Teach a Child Diligently. Teaching a child is important, and Yahweh instructs us to teach them, as we see in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, on page 152, if you can turn there. And you must teach them diligently to your children and talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, when you lie down and when you rise up. It also says that in Deuteronomy 11:19 for your notes. But if everyone will turn to Proverbs 22. And let's look at verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. In the 8th book of Yoshua, part 2, chapter 4, no, chapter 8, verse 4, it says, but if you want to learn to teach the peaceful solution correctly, no, if you want to learn to teach the peaceful solution, if you want to learn to teach it correctly, if you want to teach it where it'll be effective with others, with students of any age, then be at that class, enroll with that class. You can't go wrong if you follow these instructions, and you'll never be without a job throughout all eternity. You'll be employed for the rest of your life. It doesn't matter how young the child is. We've had 5 and 6-year-olds up here teaching the scriptures, and they know more about the scriptures than any worldly preacher out there in the world. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Remember the great prophet Samuel. We see what Yahweh was able to use Samuel for because of the way Hannah raised him. Hannah wasn't letting him play war games or waste time. She was teaching him the proper way to act. She would never give him an iPhone or set him in front of a television. No, she taught him. She took time out of her day to teach Samuel. So in order to turn your children over to the priest, like Hannah turned Samuel over to the priest, take them to the classes, the Peaceful Solution certification classes at night, and the other classes like the Lamuku class on Thursday night at 7 o'clock, or the workshops on Sabbath afternoon. And there shouldn't be workshops going on at your house on the Sabbath at 4 o'clock. Come here. That's where we have it, at the only place, at the house of Yahweh. Yes, praise Yahweh. Or we have other classes. We have classes all Sabbath long. We have classes like the booklet classes, speech classes. We have classes that every man, woman, and child here can go and learn. And parents, encourage your children to come to these classes. Teach the children. Sit down with them. Read the book of Yisrael, the book of Yahweh, the newsletter, the prophetic word, or any other house of Yahweh literature. In 2 Kefa 2, we see the end result of not teaching your children, not giving them the for education, not teaching them the laws, not training them up in the way they should go. 2 Kings 2, and look at verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery, who cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, having a mind expertly trained in covetous practices, cursed children. And that's what we see in the world today, because they haven't been taught, they haven't been given the proper education, the laws of Yahweh, and now we see cursed children that go in places and shoot places up. So in conclusion, please take heed. Listen, Pastor wants all of us to be teachers. So teach your child, train him up in the way he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it. He will stick with it. Praise y'all, and with that, if you all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the great Sonny Angel for prayer.
It's now a privilege and honor to present to you Son of Yishalabel, Deacon Melchizedek.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. And today I'd like to speak on the subject of the curses of the mixture of righteousness and evil. And in the Webster's New World Dictionary, Volume 2, the word curse, it means injury to a person or thing. It also means evil or injury that comes in an answer to something. Now, if everyone could turn over in your books of Yahweh to Genesis, the book of Genesis, and let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Book of Genesis, Genesis 3, and we're going to start off in verse 5. And it's found on page 2, and it says, this is about Adam and Eve here, and verse 5 it says, "For he knows that in the day you eat of it, you will be open, and you will be as the gods, Elohim, knowing righteousness and evil." So this is the mixture here, the righteousness and the evil. And it says here, "So when the woman saw that the tree was desirable for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were open, and they had realized that they had sinned, and that they had violated Yahweh's laws. Because they had not kept Yahweh's laws, they were afraid." Now, later on here in Genesis chapter 4, let's look at verse, let's start off with verse 10. This is about Cain here. And then it says, "Then Yahweh said to Cain, 'Where is Abel, your brother?' And he said, 'I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?' Then he said, 'What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground.' Says, 'So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand.' And it says, 'When you work the soil, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You shall be a fugitive, and you will ever be searching for peace on the earth.'" And then it says here how, "And Cain said to Yahweh, 'My punishment is greater than I can bear. Says, surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall not be seen by your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. For there shall be continual war, vengeance, and retaliation.'" All right, so if we look over to the book of Deuteronomy now. Deuteronomy. Let's start off in Deuteronomy 28. It's found on page 169. Deuteronomy 28. And let's start off in verse 1. It says, "And it will be, if you will listen diligently to the voice of your father, by observing and doing all his laws, which I command you this day, then Yahweh your father will set you high above the nations of the earth as his kings and priests. and all these blessings will accompany you because you obey Yahweh your Father. Now verse 14 says, "For if you diligently observe to do all of Yahweh's laws, and then not turn aside from any of his laws, which I command you this day, to the right hand nor to the left, by going after any god el to serve it." And it says, verse 15, it says, "However, if you do not obey Yahweh your Father, and do not carefully follow his laws and his statutes, which I command you this day, then all these curses will come upon you and accompany you." And let's start off in verse 18 here. It says, "Cursed will be the fruit of your body, the produce of your land, the calves of your herd, and the lambs of your flock." Now, Overseer Yishol Hawkins said in the ninth book of Yisrael, part 2, chapter 14, verse 14. It says, "But when they had left Egypt, Moshe said to him, 'Yahweh will take all diseases, sicknesses, and diseases away from you. He will bless the fruit of your land too, if you will follow these laws. And he'll bless the fruit of your body also. You won't be losing children like it is going on throughout the world. They won't be born with diseases and birth defects, you know, like they're being born now by the millions. All of this was taken away from this family right here. Sicknesses and disease. And the diseases that were in Egypt are the same diseases. If you will study this and study Deuteronomy 28 verse 15 on through about verse 31, you will see they are the same diseases of Egypt that came back on Israel later on. They got it now. They got the diseases of Egypt back on them now. But they didn't have from that time until here in 1 Samuel 8. All of this was taken away from them. They multiplied. They were strong. They took over the nations. And why the children in the world are cursed is because the parents and the children don't turn over or don't keep the laws of Yahweh. Now, here, I got in, one second. Now, I got an article here from the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention. Centers of Disease Control and Prevention. And it's about birth defects. And it says, "Birth defects are common, costly, and critical conditions that every one in 33 babies are born in the United States each year." And it says, "Birth defects are common. Every 4.5 minutes, a baby is born with a birth defect in the United States. This means nearly 120,000 babies are affected by birth defects each year." And it says birth defects, it says here about birth defects can be from mild to severe. And it says depends on which organ or body part is involved in the birth defect. And so continuing on here, if we can look over the 1 Samuel 8. 1 Samuel 8. 1 Samuel 8, it's found on page 228. 1 Samuel 8, and pick up on verse 5. And, this is verse 4. It says, "Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and approached Samuel when he was at Ramah, saying to him, 'You are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Appoint us a king to judge us, just like all the other nations.'" And then it says here, "But these things displeased Samuel, especially when they said, 'Give us a king to judge us.' Then Samuel prayed to Yahweh. Yahweh answered Samuel and said, 'Listen to all the words the people speak to you. For they have not rejected you, they have rejected me that I should not reign over you, just as they have done to me from the day I brought them out of Egypt to this very day they are now doing to you. They are forsaking me in order to serve God's Elohim.' Says, 'But listen to them. However, solemnly forewarn them and let them know how the king who reigns over them will behave towards them." And if we go to verse, verse 10. It says, Samuel said, "This is how the king you desire to reign over you will behave. He will take your sons and appoint some of them to serve with his chariots, some to drive his chariot horses, and others will run in front of his chariots. He will appoint captains over his army, captains of tens, captains of hundreds. Your sons will plow his ground. Others will bring in his harvests, and others will manufacture weapons of war and equipment for his chariots." And it says here, "He will take your daughters and appoint them to be cooks and bakers. He will seize the best fields, vineyards, and olive groves and give them to his officials. He will demand a tenth of your grain and your vintage, and he will give it to his officers and attendants. He will take your manservants, your maidservants, your finest young men, and your donkeys, and put them to his own use. He will demand a tenth of your sheep, and you yourselves will become his servants. You will cry out in the day because your king you wanted for yourself, but in that day Yahweh will not listen to you." And so these things are going on in the world right now. I have a news article here. It's from the Washington Post, and it says, "In historic decision, Pentagon chief opens all jobs in combat units to women." It says Defense Secretary Ashton B. Carter said Tuesday that he is opening all jobs in combat units to women, a landmark decision that would for the first time allow female service members to join the country's most elite military forces. All right, so this is going on here, and if you remember here in Samuel, it talks about how he will take your sons and appoint them to serve with your chariots and drive your chariots and your horses and so on. It says how they will also manufacture weapons of war, and so it says this is one of the biggest things of following the gods, the war. The wars that we are facing right now are a result of sin. And it started with Eve and Adam and was followed by Cain. And now the whole world has went the way of Cain. If we look over to the book of Yada chapter 1, and let's look down to verse 10. It says, "But these speak evil of those things which they do not understand. But what they do naturally, instinctively, like brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves." Verse 11 says, "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam, for reward and have perished in the rebellion of Korah." And war and fighting is what we're seeing around the world, in and around the great river Euphrates here. And this is what Revelation 6 talks about. Another prophecy. This is another prophecy that has come to pass. The fighting in and around the great river Euphrates. And they teach their children to war and fight. And yesterday, the ROTC, they were overwhelmed and they were excited because of this decision that the Pentagon made. And so they teach the children of war and fighting and the ways of war, but then they cry whenever the students and the people that they taught, they go and shoot other people. And so talking about cursed children, if we could go over to the book of Exodus and chapter 20. Found on page 61, Exodus 20. Let's start off in verse 5. It says, "You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, Yahweh, your father, am a jealous," that means zealous heavenly father, "punishing the children of the lawbreakers of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." So these cursed children, it's from the third to the fourth generation. Now I have an article here, it's talking about It's talking about these diseases here that these children are getting, and super bugs and so on. But if we go over to Deuteronomy real quick, before I read the article, let's go over to Deuteronomy 28. And continuing on in Deuteronomy 28, let's go over to verse 19. And it says, "Cursed will you be when you go in, and cursed will you be whenever you go out." Let's go over to verse 23. And it says, "The heaven that is over your head shall be brass, and the earth that is under you shall be iron. Yahweh will make the rain of your land powder and dust from heaven. It shall come down upon you until you are destroyed." And here, in the fifth book of Yisrael, it's chapter 30, verse 54, and it says, "And the heavens that are over you shall be brass, and the earth that is under you shall be iron." It says, if you've ever seen the pictures of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, how they got hit by the atomic bomb, which are thousands of times less than the nuclear ones today. You've seen how they were scorched. They became as iron, they said. They're still not even livable or livable today. If we go over to Deuteronomy and picking back up, verse 27 says, "Yahweh will afflict you with disease of Egypt and with tumors, with festering sores, and the itch from which you cannot be healed." All right. So these diseases here, it's talking about diseases that you cannot be healed. In the world, they call them superbugs. And so I got an article, it's from WebMD, and it says superbugs, what they are and how you get them. It says, imagine being sick in a hospital with a bacteria infection, and doctors can't stop it from spreading. This so-called superbug scenario is not science fiction. It's an urgent worldwide worry that is prompting swift action. Every year, about 2 million people get sick from a superbug, according to the CDC, which is the Centers for Disease Control. About 23,000 of them die. It says, earlier this year, an outbreak of CRA, which was linked to contaminated medical tools, sickened 11 people at two Los Angeles area hospitals. Two people died, and more than 200 others may have been exposed. All right, so it says, what is a superbug? It's a term that is coined by the media to describe bacteria that cannot be killed using multiple antibiotics. And they say how it's really scary. And the president of the Infectious Disease Society of America, it says how he's talking about this, and he says that there's not really a definition of it, and how any species of bacteria can turn into a superbug. And so it says what the public should know is the more antibiotics you've taken, the higher your superbug risk is. All right, so this is all due to the breaking of Yahweh's laws. And if Yahweh's laws were kept throughout the world, we wouldn't have such things as diseases and sicknesses and illnesses and superbugs. But I also got the global statistics, and it says that 3.9 million people were globally living with HIV, and this was at the end of 2014. 2 million people became newly infected with HIV at the end of 2014. They say 1.2 million people died from AIDS-related illnesses at the end of 2014. And so here, that's a lot of people, but they have these diseases that they cannot be healed from, these superbugs and so on. And so if we look back over in Deuteronomy 28 here, and let's go to verse 28. It says, "Yahweh will afflict you with madness, with spiritual blindness, and the confusion of the mind." And in the first book of Israel, chapter 5, verse 52, says, "Yahweh will allow this affliction of madness and blindness. This is the very thing this man was talking about in the book. I was rushing to look through this morning, and I was going to talk about this same thing. I would like maybe before Pentecost to read that book and report more on it to you. The same thing the scientist who wrote is actually showing, he says here how we showed it in the X-rated sermons about how these diseases actually affect the mind. These are the diseases that they can't find a suitable solution to stop. The wars, form governments, or make righteous treaties. They cannot find a solution for it. Their minds are contained with parasites right now, which keep them from making rational decisions. It says you can get the book and read it and see exactly what the scriptures say is taking place right now, and we'll spend more with the germ and biological warfare. And so there's this article I got about worms that invade your brain. And it says the most common form of the brain tapeworm is the pork tapeworm. And it's due to not keeping Yahweh's health laws. And it says, once you consume it, it can move throughout your body, your eyes, your tissues, and most commonly your brain. They leave doctors puzzled as they migrate and settle to feed on the body they're invading. It says a classic parasite, but it's one that can get into your head. It says about a British man who had found the tapeworm moving inside his brain in 2013. And it says how the patient was Chinese descent. He had recently visited China along with South Korea, Japan, and Thailand. And it says has more regularly occurrences with the parasite. It says 4 years earlier, the man had experienced symptoms such as headaches, which the team of doctors had treated it as tuberculosis. But it was this worm, this trichna worm, this tapeworm. It says just 300 infections of the tapeworm were recorded in 1953 and 2013. It says the consequences can be tissue damage, blindness, or even death. And so this is due to not keeping Yahweh's health laws that they get this this pork tapeworm. And how they say that it's due to eating undercooked pork or things like that, but it's not. They shouldn't even be eating it in the first place. In Leviticus 11, it has the health laws, and it says not to eat it. And in Deuteronomy 28, in verse 29, it says, "And you shall grope at noonday, reduced to blind helplessness, just as a blind man gropes in the darkness. You will not be successful in any of your ways. You will be oppressed and robbed continually with no one to rescue you." Now, I have an example of this with the gun control issue. They're saying about how they need gun control or taking away the guns or giving everyone guns, and they can't make a rational decision. And so after that shooting in California, the gun sales, they rose in Texas after the California shooting. And it says here, it's become a trend that begins with the U.S. with a tragedy in the U.S. In the wake of a mass shooting in California, President Barack Obama called for stricter gun laws. It says, however, gun sales have went up. And it says the owner of a Texas gun store called President Barack Obama the greatest gun salesman he had ever seen. And it's because due to them raising the prices of the guns that he's now making more money off of this. It says the first thing the president talks about is more gun control, more gun control. And of course it drives businesses up for us. And it says the president wants to make it harder to get guns, but not impossible. And he's saying here how it's just too easy to get a gun. But they want to make it harder for people to get guns. It says the vote came after 14 people were killed and 21 were wounded in a mass shooting in California. All right, so in the 12th book of Yisrael, part 2, chapter 25, verse 67, it says, "And you will grope at noonday, that is, you You are confused, so you're hunting for an answer. Well, what do you do to stop these school shootings? Well, let's take away more guns. No, let's give them guns. No, that's impossible. You know they're groping for answers. You see what's taking place here. All right. So with that, if everyone will please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the great Kahan Benjamin Krause.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Praise Yahweh, another great Sabbath day. Now remember where we left off last week, exposing the serpent who's behind all this mess. You know, Pastor said back in 2005, you know, if the Pope would call his dogs off, we could have peace. Remember that? There's a really great prophetic or a prophecy film that the great Kahan put together, and it really showed all those things and that where all this trouble is coming from. Who's fomenting all these problems that are taking place right now in Paris and New York, California, wherever they are? The Catholic Church always leaves its footprints. Before I get into that, I want to put this date in your mind here, if I could zoom in. This is the December 2015 calendar. Now, if you'll notice, the 2nd of December is the dedication of Yahweh's last day's first mobile sanctuary in 1980. That would be, 35 years ago? Is that 35? Or 25? 35. That was this past Wednesday. And of course, this past Wednesday, let me zoom out. I'm sorry, this is having a little difficulty here. Here we go. It says, Syria, this is from the London News, Syria airstrikes live. Royal Air Force bombs ISIS oil fields hours after their parliament overwhelmingly vote in favor of action. Just hours afterwards, they started attacking. Now, this was Wednesday, December 2nd, when they made this vote in the British Parliament. It's like they were chomping at the bit, right? That's the Royal Air Force. Now, here's an update. It says the Royal Air Force has launched its first bombing missions against ISIS after the parliament approved airstrikes by 397 votes to 223. And, of course, you know, they show some of their targets. And now they're saying, you know, Britain is next on the list for the terror attack. Britain's next. That's the news this morning. Now, by the way, let me get this ready here. 1202, when you look it up in Strong's, let me zoom in a little bit. Just slightly. There you go, right there. 1202 is from 6213 and 3050, and it means, it's the Hebrew Basaya, and it means in service of Yahweh. Remember, that's the date that the first mobile sanctuary was dedicated in 1980. And it's from 6213, and it means to do, fashion, accomplish, make. Remember, Yahweh is accomplishing this work in these last days. He's making everything according to the pattern shown, in Yahweh's work, in Yahweh's book of Yahweh. That's what pastor's job is to do, to make us according to the pattern, to make people according to the pattern shown, according to the peaceful solution and the laws of Yahweh, right? And it's from 3050, and 3050 just simply is Yah, or the shortened form of Yahweh, okay? Now, also, on the Greek translation, or Greek side of 1202, it means a captive, a prisoner, one bound, a prisoner. Well, who was it? Who was the captive that was bound that told us about this? Here he is right here. Here's the captive that was bound that told us all this plan of Yahweh from the very start. And by the way, if you don't think that this he was made for this, that this was his job. Just turn this jumpsuit. Actually, it says the size right here is 4X, 4 extra large. We'll just flip that puppy over and you got a YH. That was made for him, wasn't it? Because, you know, even though, you know, they bound Israel Hawkins, the message is not bound. Okay, and it's going to go forward and they will not prevail in these last days. Now, why did Satan chose 1202? Satan chose 1202 to cause to begin World War III. You know, the UN just recently announced World War III has begun. I'll let Pastor get more into that. But Satan chose that date to start World War III. But, you know, the man in chains, Yisrael Hawkins, has told us all along about these plans that the Catholic Church has. And this is from the 12th Book of Israel, Part 1, Chapter 15, Verse 16. I'm just reading verse 16 here. It says, and as Mitt Romney said, I can't believe this would come out of mouth of somebody, out of the mouth of somebody. Anyway, he said, sure, that's enough. Cause for a nuclear war. We've got to prove that we're stronger than they are. Well, what does it prove so far? It's proved that our enemies have built bigger weapons. That's all it's ever proven. And now our enemies have the same size weapons as ours, and they're teamed up and wanting to come against the U.S., which is still the strongest nation. But you combine all those nations over there, and that's got nuclear bombs. There's no winners at all in this last war that's coming, except you, House of Yahweh. You're the winners. There's not going to be any winners. You know, even in their global report they did, the nuclear war report they did, what would occur if they had the nuclear winner, they even said themselves, if they come out of their bunkers, what's going to be left to rule? A bunch of ashes? I mean, come on, there ain't going to be nothing left. That's how idiotic it is. Now, remember what we've been talking about this, who's behind these things. Let me put this right here for now and get my pictures out. Now, we were talking about Paris and New York, the connection, and I showed you how many days it was between the Paris attacks or 9/11 attack in New York City and Paris, and it was 5,175 days or 5,176, depending on if you want to count from 9/11 or the day after, and it meant the serpent, and it meant the divining serpent. As I showed you here, it was from 5175, serpent, snake, and it was from this word here, 5172, to practice divination, to divine, magic spells. Yes, that's what they're doing. They are casting spells, and they're putting them in the news for you to read all the time. I'm going to show you that here. And I also want you to remember that word alchemy, and how alchemy is... You take something or nothing and make something out of it. Take a base metal and make gold out of it. Okay, that's what that word alchemy means. Transformation. Remember that word transformation. I left off right here showing you the France dialing code 33. Okay? That's from, you just go on any source and it'll show you that's the dialing code. Now, on November 13th, the Paris attacks took place. 2 days before that, I was talking to the great Kahan Shaul on the telephone, and it was on 11/11. He had sent me a message and said, today is 11/11, and got me to start thinking. And as soon as he said that, I went on CNN, and this appeared. This movie trailer, it says, in theaters Friday, which would be November 13th, the movie called The 33. Okay? The 33. Well, what's The 33 about? The 33 film. And by the way, just to show you, indeed it was released on November 13th, 2015, here in the United States. Coincidence? Yeah, right. Let's start at this point here. Even the word the, as in The 33, has a gematria of 33. So what is this odd Masonic imagery found in this film of the 33 Chilean miners rescue, because that's what this is all about. I don't know if you remember, back in 2010, over a billion people watched on live television as 33 Chilean miners were rescued from a mine in Chile that they were trapped under. Let me get my trusty glasses here. Now, y'all remember this number right here. Remember the order out of chaos or darkness. There has to be darkness before the light comes. That's their motto. Or create the problem, then have the reaction, and you come up with a solution to the problem you created everywhere. Who do you think's behind all this, House of Yahweh? Who's creating the problems? Amoshia told you they're turning every brother against one another. They told you, he already told you who's doing this. But I'm going to show the proof. Now, the number of miners, wouldn't you know, there's 33 miners that were trapped. The date of the event that they brought them up out of the ground was 10-13-10. What's that add up to? 33. 10-13-10, 2010. The first note that they received from under the ground that these miners were still alive was 33 characters long. Wow, it's so many coincidences, right? And then NASA loaned them a drill to drill a hole, okay? And it took 33 days to drill the hole to lift them out of the hole. Well, let me show you something here. Now, remember the Phoenix? Y'all remember the Phoenix order out of chaos, the bird I just showed you? Well, here's what they lifted them up in. That is Spanish. It's called the Phoenix 2 capsule. You see that? Phoenix 2. It means the same thing. Phoenix. Just like the word Phoenix. Phoenix, Arizona. It's the same word in Spanish. Phoenix. So what would be the odds of them bringing up that order out of the chaos in this Phoenix bird here in front of a billion people? And what do you think they're trying to put in your mind? Pastor warned us a long time ago that they're doing subtle things. They're putting subliminal messages everywhere in the world. Did we believe him? Yes. Remember their motto, order out of chaos. Can you show video 2? But before they show it, I just want to say, listen to what they're saying, but watch the last clip, because watch them all, but pay attention to that last clip of this man they're interviewing in the San Bernardino shooting that just took place a few days ago. Just go ahead and play the clip, and I'll continue from there. This interview is on CNN.
For us, the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Certain that we stand at a defining hour. Halfway around the world, we are engaged in a great struggle in the skies and on the seas and sands. We know why we're there. We are Americans, part of something larger than ourselves. For two centuries, we've done the hard work of freedom, and tonight, we lead the world in facing down a threat to decency and humanity. What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind: peace and security, freedom and the rule of law. Such is a world worthy of our struggle and worthy of our children's future.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America? The conspiracy theorists are going to go on.
I'm sure they are. I don't know. I haven't seen the web.
Number 322?
First of all, he's not the nominee. Look, I look forward...
Are you prepared to lose?
No, I'm not going to lose.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322, a secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets, Tim, but one thing is not a secret. I disagree with this president's direction that he's taking the country. We can do a better job, and I intend to do it.
And we'll be watching. Be safe on the campaign trail. John Kerry, thanks for joining.
We all, as a matter of the world order, such as it is, need to come together urgently in order to assert rule of law, human decency, and to make order out of places where there is chaos. We all, as a matter of the world order, need to come together urgently in order to assert rule of law, human decency, and to make order out of places where there is chaos.
He works inside there in the facility, and he says that the alarms went off and they were all told to hunker down and hide and shelter in place. And he says that eventually the police came by, took them out. He never heard any gunshots or anything like that. Right now they're all by the railroad tracks. He says they're getting ready to load them in. The police have told them that they're going to load them into buses and take them off. So I'm assuming to be interviewed.
Now, that last, the last clip was from this latest shooting in San Bernardino. I know you couldn't probably see too well, but here's the gentleman that was being interviewed. Notice his nice, beautiful little rainbow Mason hat. So they're not sending messages, are they? They're not letting us know who's behind all this. And when I say Mason, I mean Catholic Church. Do you understand that? They're the architects of all the trouble. Okay, and they're letting you know, they're putting the messages out everywhere for you. And let me continue here. CNN is one of the main propaganda tools that they use. Here it is right here, CNN Center. Of course, CNN Center opened in what year? Yeah, 1976. And it's on the 33rd parallel. So on the 33rd parallel, thought I brought a sermon about that not long ago, or years ago probably, but Ted Turner, here's the city of Atlanta, by the way, on Wikipedia, and you can go there, and for yourself, you can see, actually, let me zoom in just a little bit again. Atlanta is Atlanta, Georgia, where CNN headquarters is located, is on the 33rd parallel. Coincidence? No, Ted Turner, the owner of CNN, is a population control advocate, gave $1 billion to the UN, and then told all of his rich friends to chip in. They should all chip in, too. Now, here's what's known about the terrorist attacks. I need to go ahead and zoom out, please. I'm getting a little help. So what's known, this is from the World Daily, here's what's known about Friday's terror attacks on November 13th in Paris. The total time between the first and last attack was what? 33 minutes. Is there no end to the coincidences? 33 minutes. Here's another article about the timeline of how the Paris attacks unfolded. And of course, trying to remember in this one where I can find it, but of course it also shows the 33 minutes. I don't think I circled it, but you can go look for yourself. I think I'm going to skip this right here. Now, this latest shooting in San Bernardino is kind of... Oh, by the way, I got to show you this too. This is kind of interesting. Of course, the night of the Paris attacks, the One World Trade Center lit up in the French colors of blue, white, and red. But you know, they weren't the only ones that got lit up that night. Here is San Francisco City Hall. Do you ever wonder how they get these things lit up that quick? Within 1 hour after the attack, landmarks all over the world have the French colors of the flag, blue, white, and red, already lighting up their buildings and bridges. Probably just a coincidence, right, House of Yahweh? Look how lit up that baby is. And look at this. Even the Christ statue in Rio de Janeiro lit up in French colors the same night. Wow. These guys must be prophets. Divining serpents. Here, look at all these landmarks that night. Even Toronto, Canada. But of course, the Eiffel Tower, built by Freemason that gave us the Statue of Liberty called Isis, that wasn't lit up. It was dark. I guess Al Gore was up there. Remember the global warming guy? Had to cancel his show that night because of the shooting that just took place out of nowhere. An Inconvenient Truth, I think it was this movie he made. You know, as a result of these Paris attacks, no protests were allowed at this conference that just came up on November 30th in Paris, the COP21 Global Climate Conference. It's like a 12-day conference is taking place. And I guess ISIS must be pro-global warming or pro their global warming activists because they set this thing off in Paris just in time for the conference. Remember Pope Francis's encyclical, Laudato Si, about global warming and our job as human beings to, you know, do something about global warming and all band together and fight this common enemy. All religions need to get together because we're going to be destroyed because of global warming. Here's when it was officially published, at noon, which is 6 plus 6, on June 18th, which is 666, 2015, in a news conference held at noontime on that day. Coincidence? Well, no, it's not. Y'all familiar with carbon taxes? You worthless eaters? You're taking up all the oxygen and you're creating a carbon footprint that's destroying mankind. You know, we even need to genetically modify those cows because they're putting out a lot of methane and they're causing global warming. You know, everything that Yahweh created is causing global warming, right? No, it's not. Sin is causing global warming. Read Revelation. It says that their sins have reached into the heavens and it's destroying the firmament. But they want to make you believe this is the cause. You know what carbon 12 is? It's what you're made up of. You're made up of carbon 12. And guess what it has? It has 6 protons, 6 neutrons, and 6 electrons. 666. The number of man. The number of the system. Here you go. Can we zoom out? It says, why are humans made of carbon? Chemists point to electrons and molecular bonds. You know that carbon 12 is the most abundant. It's like 98% of what makes up your carbon in your body. Coincidence? Hey, I wonder if this has something. Let me miss that one for a minute. Let me get to this one. Vatican Radio. Bishops call for transformational climate agreement. And they say in this article that was published last month that we need to make, let me show you this, it needs to be, the bishops are saying in the Catholic Church, it needs to be a just and legally binding climate agreement from the negotiations in the COP21 in Paris. And this letter that the Pope wrote, the Laudato Si letter I just showed you, is written to every person living on this planet. Bond and free, rich and poor, Revelation 13, right? It's to everybody living on the planet. Also, We need to cool off on our excessive reliance on fossil fuels, they call them. And it needs to be a comprehensive and transformational agreement. Remember, transformation. Funny they would use that, right? Coincidence? By the way, the climate conference began on November 30th. And it just so occurs, in 2011, they found out they made a mistake with the horoscope. There's actually 12 or 13 constellations that should be in the horoscope. So they added one. And actually, it was one that was there before. Can you zoom in, please? It says, the Babylonians had 13 constellations, but they wanted only 12, so they threw out Ophiuchus, the snake holder. Now, check this out. This is a coincidence, House of Yahweh. This is from NASA, Constellations in the Zodiac. This one here, the one I just told you called the Serpent Handler. It's from November 30th, when they're having their conference, to Saturnalia, December 17th. Huh. It's in the Serpent's constellation, and right here it says, between the two halves lies the constellation of Ophiuchus, the Serpent Bearer. The Serpent Bearer. Here he is right here. Oh, he doesn't have any clothes on. Let me get through to that. Hey, by the way, did you hear the news this week? After 33 years, Christmas in Washington has been canceled. That's a great thing, isn't it? Remember carbon, 666. Remember all these things. By the way, I'm going to leave you with this. The great Khan Ilya brought this to me last week. I'm closing up here in just a second. This is the cassock that the Pope wears. Okay, that the bishops and the different Roman Catholic priests wear. Here it is right here. Looks kind of like those trench coats that those guys in Columbine wore. But here, notice this. A Roman cassock, it has 33 buttons, symbolizing the 33 years, I'm sure, of Jesus' life. Well, that's all I have time for right now. We'll continue to expose the serpent. But keep these things in your mind, because Yahweh is exposing in these last days what is really taking place and who's behind this. And like he said, if the Pope would call his dogs off, we would have peace. But I don't think the Pope's going to call his dogs off. I think they got, there's 4/5 of this world they're fixing to destroy so they can try to bring order out of the chaos they're creating everywhere. Be on guard, House of Yahweh. Yahweh will protect you, but you also need to keep his laws. At this time, I'd like to, if you'd please stand, I'd like to introduce to you the great, one of Yahweh's great priests, the great Khan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Now, of course, a lot of topics in the news today, but keep in mind, you know, pay close attention, because what we're looking at is ingredients to bring forth this global war, or this to utterly destroy this world, to empty it and plunder it, as Isaiah 23 says. And remember, Isaiah is the one that said it, and pastor sounding the alarm and telling us how it's going to take place, and that's what we're seeing. We start off with Abilene in Abilene, Texas. They're talking about this week how STDs are on the rise, even here in Abilene with 3 Christian colleges. Yes, they're on the rise, and they're due to a lot of promiscuity taking place, the not keeping of Yahweh's laws. And then another article on the west side of Abilene, community over there, they're saying that there's a business, and you can, the smoke that protrudes from this business, you can taste it. It gets in your house, and it just kind of floods the community. And then they tell you it's a crematorium where they're burning dead bodies that you're tasting. Now, the city has come in and said, don't worry, they're okay. They're within the licensing of what they're doing. You should be fine. Now, I don't know what kind of carbon footprint that's leaving, but you might want to check on it. Now, also, Vladimir Putin, he approved sanctions on Turkey this last week. And this is very important. Remember, hurt not the oil and the wine. Russia has said, and they're saying they can prove, that Turkey is buying what they're calling ISIS or ISIL oil, and they're bringing that across into Turkey through these massive tanker trucks, these huge convoys, and they're buying oil illegally. Russia has also said that the prime minister, his son, and his son-in-law are the ones that are doing this. They're the ones that are bringing this in, buying this oil for low money on the black market and selling it for huge profits. Well, the defense minister literally referred to those people as nothing but thieves. They have blood money on their hands. He's calling them thieves. And Russia this week held a one-hour press conference showing that this is taking place. Well, the Turkey prime minister said, if you can prove it, then I will step down. Of course, Russia proved it. And then the Turkey leader says, I'm still not stepping down. In fact, he goes on to say that what we have found is that Russia is buying ISIS oil. Now, this sounds, you know, it's a he said kind of thing. But watch the State Department when they reply to it. And the news is going to have all of these put together. The State Department, when asked by RT, a reporter from RT, watch how he stumbles and bumbles and he doesn't really want to answer the question. He gets very uncomfortable. And at the end, he just says, we don't believe Russia. We believe Turkey because they're a NATO ally. And that's what it comes down to. Of course, remember, hurt not the oil and the wine. After this, the United States puts more sanctions on Russia. A lot of tension building up, financial tension building up, and a lot of things are coming to a head. Also, the UN, once again, they're calling, they're saying they want to depopulate the earth. Now, this is an article that was played months back, but we want to reshow it again because this climate convention that they're having, they're saying that there's more people than what we need on earth. Now, there was a study that was done back in 2008, and that study was done by the Vatican, and they released that there are now more Muslims than Catholics. And the projected outcome, and they're projecting this at 2050, this is how they're projecting the Catholics to do as compared to the Muslims. They're actually saying that by 2050, they expect the Christian religions, this is not just Catholic, but all Christians, to grow by 750 million. But they expect the Muslim religion to grow by 1,161,780,000. As a Christian community, as a Christian religion, as someone who wants to be in charge, you can't have that. Now also remember that China and Russia, just a few years back, and these are dated back to 2012, 2013, when they had the Olympics in Sochi, President Putin said, do not bring your homosexuality here and teach our children. You stay away from our children. And they passed laws where they could actually arrest you if you gave some kind of homosexual propaganda to a child. They would arrest you. Now, notice back in 2008 when the Olympics were in Beijing, Beijing created a village for the homosexuals to go to. They were not allowed to come out anywhere else. They had to stay in their village. And remember, when Pope Francis took office, the new president at that time in 2013, he told the Pope, do not meddle in our religion. Stay out of our country. A stern warning. Well, the climate change, of course, who is supposed to be the greatest polluter? Who is the largest cause? China, of course. It has to be China because China won't listen. They won't play the game. They won't adhere to the system. Now, the second highest polluter in the world is the United States. And, of course, the United States is saying that we need to make these things a law. We need to put these into law. So all of these things put together, watch. There was also Vladimir Zhirinovsky. He is a politician in Russia. He's ran for president 5 times. He says that the answer to fixing what is wrong in the Middle East, the first thing they need to do is nuke Turkey. Wipe them out with one nuclear bomb. Now, that may sound radical, but listen else to what's taking place. Donald Trump this week actually said that if someone commits a terrorist attack, we need to go after them and their families. Not just them, but their families. And if you think that's rare, remember, in Israel, if a Palestinian, an accused Palestinian, which they say should be shot on sight, don't try them, if they're accused or they're caught doing anything, whether proven or not, they go tear down the house of that family. That man, they tear down his house. Also, last but not least, France. Now, remember, France is under a state of emergency. They're having to watch. So what are they needing to do? They're going through right now and they're shutting down mosques because they're saying they're teaching hate. They're not teaching what the Catholics teach. They're calling it hate. So they're not in line with what they're being told to do. Watch all of these very carefully because all of these are the ingredients for the bringing forth of a nuclear war. If we could go ahead and play the news. Really quickly, we want to show you something here. Last week, CNN posed a question, and the question was, is climate change a form of terror? Well, 30 minutes later, CNN says, climate change is a form of terror. So now you know, if you're speaking or you're someone that doesn't adhere to what's taking place in Paris and the rules they're going to put forth, you are now a terrorist. That's what you'll be labeled as. Well, at this time, I'd like to introduce the only person who can shine the light in this darkness that is being given. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Oh, we got a crowd here today, a big one. Hey, Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. World War III has begun. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Just like Yahweh said. You're going to hear a lot of propaganda against the house of Yahweh in all of this, because they're going to try to make us look really bad. Anyone who uses the name Yahweh, and they're trying to make out like that the Muslims are following Yahweh. They're not. They follow some of Yahweh's ways. Christianity follows some of Yahweh's ways. They're not quite as bad as the Roman Catholic Church, which follows none of Yahweh's ways. But Christianity does have a little bit of righteousness. Not very much, but some. About $11,900,000 every 0.75 seconds. 0.75 seconds, that's a lot of money being spent. Statistics on the cost of gun violence. Now, this is the cost of gun violence. The profit on selling guns is much higher than this cost of gun violence. But also this cost of gun violence, they're figuring how much money the person spends, how many jobs is created by gun violence, how much damage is done, so you have to come in and clean up the damage. This creates jobs. You know, they go through all of this to decide what to do, see, about the gun violence. It's creating a lot of jobs. It's creating a lot of destruction. And of course, if you remember, that was the way that Cain chose, was destruction. That's the way that Nimrod chose, was destruction. That's the way the 12 tribes chose. But statistics on the cost of gun violence, posted April 17, 2015, researchers conservatively estimate that gun violence costs the American economy at least $229 billion every year, including $8.6 billion in direct expenses such as for emergency and medical care. April 17, 2015. Now, if you took 1% of this $229 billion, if you took 1% of it, you could put in every school teacher's hand in America and every child that's old enough to go to school a book called The Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Yes, 1% of this, and you could stop all violence. Now, you can't tell me that they don't want, that they want to stop violence and can't. They could, but they don't want to. There's too much money being made in this violence. Money in war. That's what Hitler said, too. That's what America has said for years. It's sickening, but it's true. And, of course, the Catholic Church is behind this whole thing. There's no righteousness in the Vatican. None. There's money making, there's drug businesses, there's pharmaceuticals, and that's what your Bible shows. If you have a Bible, you don't even need a book of Yahweh to show you that. It's in your King James versions. It's much better translated in the book of Yahweh. Tonight, the joy of living in the house of Yahweh. Yahweh has set a table for his house in the presence of our enemies. Tonight, one of the best tasting parts of a chicken or a turkey, you probably won't believe this if you haven't tried it, but it's the back. And it's the best part. It's the closest meat to the bone there is, and it's the tastiest meat there is, and that's what we're having tonight. It's got my mouth watering right now. This is smoked turkey backs. When I heard this, I said, well, I've got to tell everybody about this, because try to experience it. You can't top it. It beats every part of the turkey and every part of the chicken. Now, the new moon's got that dinner that you need, or supper that you need to start planning to get here plan to get here for other reasons, but keep that in mind. I'm not going to tell you to make your mouth water more, but that's just next week, next Sabbath night, I believe. What has got the Vatican so upset is Israel Hawkins said anyone can be part of living prophecy right now in news article. Wow, 138 million. Wow, that's impressive. Israel Hawkins says he can prove why he is the only one with the plan to stop wars and fighting. Yes, we are. The house of Yahweh. That's the only plan. I'm going to get deeper into that. One of the young priests started it there today, and I told him I was going to be following up on it. That was an excellent sermon, by the way. I don't know if you've noticed, but the young priest and priestess in the house of Yahweh, they are really getting to be some fantastic teachers. Yeah. Israel Hawkins says it's time to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. I hate to call that. There's got to be another word. The temple in Jerusalem, according to prophecy, that has shot way up to 181,000 people. Over 181,000 people have read that already. This is really great. I'll show you the pictures of Google. Who's that at the top? Somebody there. Yeah. They're not even getting close to him. Can you everybody see that? At the top. That's the top on Google this morning. Isn't that amazing? The message is going out and they can't stop it. They're frantic. Satan, that beautiful woman they talked about, she's almost bald-headed for pulling her hair out, not knowing what to do to stop this, you know? Breaking news, the UN officially declared the beginning of World War III. The chairman of the Security Councils of the United Nations, Ramanda, I hate to probably pronounce this, but I'm going to, Mermakati, or Mermakati, officially declared from New York on Wednesday that after World War II ended, several countries have declared against the forces called itself Islamic State of ISIS, the Islamic State of ISIS, and they say they must all be destroyed. They all got together and says they've got to destroy ISIS. I want to show you more about ISIS in the coming week starting today. According to the Security Council, of the UN, the war which involves five countries or more is considered a world war. Similarly, the president of Security Council of the UN announced that ISIS will be attacked in next hours. That's already going on. Britain's already started, several others too. It will not stop until Supreme Commander of ISIS, Abu Bark al-Baghdad, I think, surrenders, he said. And we'll see how that one turns out. The problem with ISIS and the Muslims, see, they don't have Yahweh on their side. And only his house has Yahweh to protect them. Yahweh never, ever, get this in your mind, he never, ever instituted war. He didn't tell the 12 tribes to go out and start wars. I've got to show you that and make you understand it, because we're not going to kill anybody. Nobody in the house of Yahweh. If you kill somebody, I can tell you now, you're not following Yahshua's example. Now, you'd be better off if you gave your life innocently. You know, if they wanted to kid you, that's fine. If Yahweh says so, well, that's fine. And you'll wake up with me, with my hands on you, blessing you for doing it. Stand firm in Yahweh and let him do the fighting. Let him carry the battles. That's what you're commanded to do. Don't argue and fight. Come to the house of Yahweh and bring peace to it. Not fighting, not hitting with the fist, not slapping with your hand, not kicking with your feet, not getting a weapon and somebody else getting a bigger weapon. That's Satan's way. That's what Cain did. Yahshua set you a totally different example, remember? Read what Yahshua did. When they spit in his face, when they slapped him in the face, when they pushed crowns of thorns down on his head, he set you that example and said, this is important. This is very important that you follow his example. And you get it in your mind to do so, he will protect you. As long as you're a part of this work, he's going to protect you. You have no protection otherwise. There's no protection out there for ISIS. There's none for the United States, except where the house of Yahweh is. That's the only protection promised. Well, British bombs won't work, he says, this article. British bombs won't work as ISIS fighters are so mad. They mean crazy by this. They think they live in a metric. Well, they're referring to some show. I didn't see it, but they're referring to some show where they make these people look like heroes. It all started, it all became very popular, wars did. When I remember the first movie that I saw, it was speechless. They didn't have sound, but they had the people making lip movement and they had to follow the bouncing ball, if you've ever seen that, where you sing inside the movie. But they didn't have sound at that time. But they had run across the screen news. At that time, I believe they were trying to build up hatred for Japan and accusing the Japanese of all sorts of things. After that, it was something else. After that, though, they got sound, which made their effects even better. But they taught wars. That's what you'll get if you send your children to public schools. Everyone who sends their children to public schools passes them through the fire to Baal, to Lord. You'll learn. That's where they learn. That's where they learn fighting and war. I don't know if they brought it out, but they had yesterday on the news showing how they were training in the high schools now. They actually had training in the school itself Army training, Marine and Navy and so forth. And then they had the enlistment program where they could go and enlist and join this exciting army to go kill ISIS, go kill people. Well, that's not Yahweh's way. That's Satan's way. That's what Cain chose. And it's a never-ending violence, never-ending revenge, retaliation. That's what the world is suffering right now. We can't be that way, brethren. We are going to have to be exactly like Yahshua, and your whole character should be thinking that way right now. Confusion starts with the eating of pork. And, of course, you find that in Leviticus 11, any food that touches pork, you find that in there. If food touches pork, what do you think you do when you get something out of the supermarket? You know, and I've worked for years to bring this to where Yahweh's people would not have to do that. I don't know if you know how much work we've gone to get this to make it possible for you to come out of the world, but that's the whole idea of Yahweh's work. You can't just come out of the world and say, well, I'm going to step over here on this side of the porch. You know, the world is over there too. You've got to, you've got to make a way for it. And when the children of Israel get hungry for meat and they start criticizing Yahweh, then, you know, there's a death angel that passes through and takes care of you, and you start dying. Dying, you will die. Well, because, why? Because you go back out into the world again, start eating from that. Well, in Leviticus, he tells you don't eat anything that touches that. It's unclean to you. Well, unclean means it makes your mind unclean. It makes it confused. That's the start. That's the start of war. Deuteronomy, I think that's verse 35, by the way, in Leviticus 11. Anything it touches, but if it touches a vessel, or the liquid touches a vessel, and that vessel touches your clean food, it makes it unclean. You go to the grocery store, you see it stacked up on top of one another and beside one another, all in the same compartment. You think you're going to get something clean out of that compartment? No, there's no way. Deuteronomy 14 shows the same thing, and he tells you, you are a holy people. You are a holy people unto me. So don't touch these things. In 2 Corinthians 11, he said, come out from among them and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. If the clean thing has touched the unclean thing, that clean thing becomes unclean. That should be obvious to anyone. The 12.5. Why did I write that down? I don't know. If I can pronounce this, it's Wahhabism. Wahhabism. Or Wahhabism. Meaning Yahhabism. Meaning it's a mission. The mission is a religious movement or branch of Sunni, S-U-N-N-I, Islam, and it is described as Orthodox, and they too, like the Catholics now, and like our forefathers became in Israel, the 12 tribes, kill them all. You got to kill them all. Well, of course, they didn't have to. Yahweh set it up to where they would never have to lift a hand to hurt someone else. But this war that we're fighting, and I've got to make you understand, I mean, this is not a small thing that they have enlisted to do. When they took on this war and say this is World War III, they're meaning depopulate. They're meaning they're going to kill them all. Well, the Islams are Muslims outnumber Christians by far, by billions, probably double the amount. And of course, this is what's making the Vatican angry, because the Muslims are outnumbering, and their increase is going by leaps and bounds now. So as they did before in Israel, when they made their move to Rome, Seven Hills of Rome, they sent their general Titus on a feast day. They picked the feast days because they knew Yahweh's people. Their people who kept the feast or Yahweh's Sabbaths that they wanted to get rid of also. As Daniel showed later, they're still trying to get rid of them. You know, you come against the name Yahweh and his feast days, as chapter 7, 25 of Daniel. Well, of course, the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, who owned the Roman army, they sent their general Titus. He surrounded the city, and then he was told, hey, all the people have not gotten here for the feast. Back off. Let them all get in here first. That's the reason he backed his army off, to let everyone who wanted to keep Yahweh's Sabbath get into Jerusalem to keep the Sabbath. At that time, Yeshua's people had been warned by Yeshua himself. When you see the armies pull back, he said, flee for the hills. That gave them, the believers, a chance to get out of there and let the others who were not believers come in. Yeah. Well, then Titus and his army surrounded Jerusalem. They starved them half to death, beat the walls in finally, and went in and butchered the rest of them and destroyed the temple. It was an easy thing for them to do. Very easy. Those people didn't come there to make war. They came there to keep Yahweh's feast. They was unarmed, but they didn't have Yahweh. They'd shut themselves off from Yahweh, as did the ones who had murdered them. But Yahweh had warned them by the prophets, this is what's going to be. If you don't follow my laws completely, then this is what's going to take place with you. Well, they slaughtered all of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was devastated. They destroyed the buildings and everything, and the temple, removed every stone. I wouldn't be surprised, but what those stones are not found in the Vatican somewhere is probably built in one of their big buildings. The temple is probably sitting there right now and built or waiting to be built. But anyway, that's what took place with them. And of course, the people fell for this kind of war, and they were led into it. The Crusades, it went out to kill everyone, as it did those in Jerusalem. They went out to kill everyone that was keeping the Sabbath. If you owned a menorah, the seven-lamp lampstand, you were a Yahweh follower, and they didn't want you. They didn't want you to live. And that's what they're saying about these people, because their religion is different. Well, of course, the 12 tribes, if you remember, when they went in to these nations, they had already been cut off from Yahweh. And Yahweh told Moshe, when you die, these people are going, the stiff-necked and rebellious people are going to turn against you and everything you've taught. They'll turn against me. I won't be with them. But Yahweh brought his house through. That was the main thing, his work. He protected that house even all the days of the wars, all the days of adultery and fornication that the prophet spoke of. He had protected that house as he's protecting you right now, brethren. He's protecting you and will if you'll just set your mind to serve him only. The difference in the Orthodox Catholic and the Orthodox Coptic and the ISIS fighters, the Muslims who worship Allah, meaning the God. It's not Yahweh. It's God. It means God, and God's an Elohim in Hebrew. That's who they're worshiping. The same gods that the Catholics are worshiping. The only thing different with the Muslims, they keep some of the laws against fornication, adultery. That's why the Catholic Church, they hate Africa right now, and you're going to see more and more destruction there because the president of Africa said, I'll hang every one that makes it known that he's a sodomite. And if they get reported, you'll have the same thing there, you know, same thing that the Catholic Church had going with the Crusades and still got going. You know, even in America, you worship Yahweh, you're in trouble if you make it known. You've seen what's occurred so far with so many people who use the name Yahweh and tried to keep the feast or Sabbath of Yahweh. You saw what occurred to them. Well, the house of Yahweh, difference in them and the house of Yahweh. Yahweh in Egypt, that's where I want to start with this. I won't get very far because time is up already. But Yahweh in Egypt, I will take sickness away from you, he said. That was brought out today by one of the young future priests. I think I'd like to cover, if you'd turn over to Exodus 7, and I'll get this in your mind, at least for this week, and show you what I mean by trusting Yahweh, because we're not going to use guns or swords. We're not going to fight, but we're going to win the battle. That is, Yahweh is going to win the battle. When he said to Yahshua, set at my right hand, now get this, set at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. That's Yahweh. He's going to make our enemies, Yahshua's enemies, which is our enemies, our footstool. That is, he's going to make them come and worship before us. He's turning their hearts right now. That's the start. He's also got protection out. Imagine yourself in Egypt in the days of Moshe, and Moshe not having weapons of war. They had none. They were gun free. Ted Cruz said that yesterday on the news. He said, have you noticed that every one of these shootings, which I just showed you the number, you're only getting a very small percent of the news about these shootings. 225 billion, how much do you think you got of that? One in San Bernardino, one in Georgia, you know? No, there's probably a couple of hundred or maybe 100,000 last week. But these shootings, you know, they got them going on all over the world. And they're saying we got to stop it while they're building bombs or building bigger guns to shoot with. Don't that make a lot of sense? The enemy doesn't have sense enough to build a bigger bomb. Well, yeah, they do. In fact, they got some bigger bombs. And they're going to use them, Yahweh said. You know, all that you're doing, every effort, all your paths are slippery paths that you're going to slip and fall in. That's what Isaiah said. And Jeremiah said the same thing. Isaiah 58, 59 shows you this. He says, come keep my Sabbaths holy, and you'll be righteous. Then I'll make you the rebuilder of old waste places. Yes, we are going to have the power to rebuild the earth. You can actually see that as early as Exodus here, really, really plain in Exodus and the power that Yahweh has here. Look at verse 1 in chapter 7 of Exodus. Verse 1, chapter 7 of Exodus. And try to imagine yourself there. You have no weapon to fight with. The army of Egypt had plenty of them, really armed. Ted Cruz yesterday said, have you noticed that these people, where the shootings take place, They're arms free, gun free. They don't have any guns. Every single one, he said. It takes place in a place where they don't have any guns to shoot back with. Well, of course, this may be true, but also it tells the people, you know, you need guns. It's hard to imagine what's going to take place if they try to take the guns away from these people. I think the 200 or 385,000 guns sold this week, you know, here in Texas, I think. It might have been other places, but every time they have something like this on the news, they don't, you know, and like I say, you're only getting maybe 0.1% or something like that of the news because they don't cover it. The shooting in Georgia, Russian television said of the shooting in Georgia, it didn't get any news coverage. They described this whole shooting in Georgia in one little paragraph in the paper or on the news. One little paragraph. They spent days in San Bernardino. Why? Well, why? And why didn't they show the rest of them and how many shootings actually took place last week? It's going on strong, big time, here in America. Imagine $229 billion a year. That's the damage of the shootings. That's not the gun sales or the number of the shootings. That's the damage that comes from the shooting. There's very little damage compared, like in San Bernardino, compared to what they are in the world. You can imagine what you're missing in the news. Well, here in chapter 7 of Exodus, this is you and Yahweh. And in these last days, there's going to be a bigger gathering than that. And Yahweh says, I'll be with you. I'm going to be with you as you go through this thing, if you'll serve me only. Get rid of the gods. God worship. You got Christmas on your mind. You got Lord worship on your mind. You got devil worship on your mind. You got gift giving on your mind? Go ahead and send it, but you belong to Satan if you do. You don't belong to Yahweh. The prophet Jeremiah, or that's in King James Version, the prophet Jeremiah, Book of Yahweh, is his true name. He told you, do not learn the way of the heathen. Yahweh said to Moshe, pick me people that hate gifts. That hate them. Pick me people that hate gifts. Well, he did get them. In fact, Zebulun saw the light. I hope you see it. I sure hope you do. Christmas is the beginning of what they did to Eve with the eating of the pork, the confusion of the mind, the worthless things to take the place of Yahweh's true education in peace, as Yahshua sat and gave his life for and went through gobs of torture. And he's not going to relent if you think you're going to squeeze by and go ahead and hang on to Baal. You will either die with the wars or you will burn in the hell. Now that's prophesied. It's a judgment for anyone who wants to get into this Baal worship. That's what it is, Satan worship. Learn it not. When you send your people, your children to public school, they're going to learn it. Yes, and they're going to fight and war. They're going to learn war and fighting in the schools. And they're going to say, hey, the Supreme Court just said it's okay to do this. The Supreme Court is the worshipers of Satan. They're not the worshipers of Yahweh. They have no power to give you eternal life or to protect you. Call upon them in an hour of need. Call upon any one of those Supreme Court leaders. Call on them in an hour of need and see where you get. Call on any one of your politicians or your judges and see where you get. If you don't put your trust in Yahweh, brethren, you're going to die, and Yahweh says so. There ain't no way you could protect yourself if you don't do what he says. If you run out into the world, you can't protect yourself. The world has no protection. And if you look at the people that get shot in churches, in the movies, in their homes, you'll see they have no protection. Think of that. Well, here in chapter 7, then Yahweh said to Moshe, "Behold, I have made you as a mighty one in Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother will be your prophet. You are to speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother is to tell Pharaoh that he must let the children of Israel go out of his country." Why didn't they just chop off his head like they did everybody else? You know, no one could come up to the Pharaoh with something like this without them going after him. Same way they do in the United States. "But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, even though I will multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt." Now, Yahweh is doing this. Get it? He's going to do this. He told him exactly what he would do. "Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand upon Egypt and bring my armies." You see my armies here? I'll bring my armies. You wanting some protection in this time period? You better have Yahweh's armies protecting you, or you won't live through this. This is going to get really nasty from here to the end. "My armies, I'll bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by mighty acts of judgment." That is Yahweh's mighty acts of judgment. Let's read on. "And the Egyptians shall know that I am Yahweh when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and against their gods." Remember, this is against their gods. All the world is worshiping gods. The Muslims, the Catholics, the Christians, the Catholic Coptics, even though Yahweh tells them in the third chapter of Genesis, don't be evil like the gods. But Eve chose to be evil like the gods. And every Christmas Eve, you see people joining Eve on Christmas Eve and going to worship Satan the same way that Eve did. Change your name to Adam and Eve if you're going to do this. And then Cain, and then war and retaliation. You're supporting it, so you're part of Satan worship. You won't be in the kingdom. "And bring the children of Israel from among them." I'm going to do this, he said. And Moshe and Aaron did just as Yahweh commanded them. This they did. And Moshe was 80. I thought that was pretty great what was brought out about that today. Moshe was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83 years old. When they spoke to Pharaoh. Now, if you know the history of Moshe, Yahweh trained him. He became a very humble man. He said, "I can't do this." And Yahweh kept saying, "Yeah, you can. You're going to do it." Verse 4, keep in mind verse 4 now. "I'm going to do this with my armies. Now look at chapter 8 and verse 1. "Then Yahweh spoke to Moshe, say, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says Yahweh, let my people go, so they may worship me. But if you refuse to let my people go, then I will plague all your country with my army." One of my armies. My armies, I'll bring my armies. This is one of them. Think of the microorganisms, the little creatures you can't even see. And this is what put those frogs together quickly, covered the land. Look at verse 8. Then Pharaoh summoned Moshe and Aaron. Pray to Yahweh, he said, that he will take away the frogs from me. The magicians couldn't do that, by the way. They had the power to raise the frogs in their test tubes. They had incubators for them, but they couldn't get rid of them off of the land. So he had to go to Yahweh. Pray to Yahweh that he will take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go to offer sacrifices to Yahweh. Well, of course, he lied, like all the religions do. They all lie. They bring forth lies, like Christmas. Christmas. Do you see what foolish customs they do? Full of lies. Easter goddesses on Easter. Bunnies. Santa Claus, he's making his rounds right now in that sleigh coming across with reindeers. And he's stopping in every home. Yeah, I know. Learn not the way of the heathen, their foolishness, he says. So Yahweh, this is verse 13 of chapter 8. Verse 13, so Yahweh did as Moshe requested, and the frogs died out of the homes, out of the countryside. They had to scoop them up. They gathered them up in heaps, and they stink. They stink up the land. Look at verse 16. So Yahweh said to Moshe, tell Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust. This is an army. Strike the army. Strike my army here of the ground. Army of the ground. Remember my armies. I'll bring my armies. I'll fight your battles. Israel wasn't having to fight them with swords, knives, or anything. You get that? They didn't have to do that. Yahweh did it for them. That's what he's going to do for you. If you will keep your word on baptism, and when you were baptized, he will keep his word. When you were baptized, you said you were going to live by Yahweh's laws. When you marry someone in the house of Yahweh, you make a vow, you vow that you will not take those people out of the work of Yahweh. You better remember those vows. Keep your vows. Now, he didn't say break your vows. He said if you do break your vows, it will not be forgiven. So Yahweh said to Moshe, tell Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the armies of the dust, called dust of the ground, and it will become gnats. Okay. Have you ever had a light out of a night and it was drawing gnats? Well, these were thicker than that. They became very thick. And verse 17, and they did as Yahweh commanded. Aaron stretched out his hand with the staff and struck the dust of the earth, and it became gnats on man and beast. All of the dust of the ground became gnats throughout all the land of Egypt. Throughout all the land of Egypt. Verse 18, but when the magicians tried to produce gnats by their secret arts, remember the divining serpent? Now, that meant Vatican. It means divining serpent. Well, that's what you're seeing here. The divining serpents were magicians. And, of course, they fooled a lot of people, as you saw. And this is shown with the apostles, too. They did the same thing with them. They could not. Notice, they could not stop. They could not produce the gnats like Moshe and Aaron did. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of Yahweh. But Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not listen, just as Yahweh had told Moshe already. That was verse 19. Look at verse 21. He says, but if you will not let my people go, he sent him back again. I will send my army. This is more of Yahweh's army. Imagine trying to fight a battle and flies swarming in your food and in your mouth and in your eyes and so forth. That was what was taking place here. It got his attention. Verse 22, but on the day that I will deal differently with and severe the land of Goshen, of Goshen, whereby where my people live. Listen, look at this real close. Read it really, really close. Now, they were in the same land. They were in Egypt. But Yahweh kept them out of their land. You see that? You will see them dying at your right hand by the thousands. You will see them. Only with your eyes you will see them, but it won't come near you. You remember that promise to you who have Yahweh's shadow? Yahweh's shadow of protection? No flies will be there, in order that you will know that I, Yahweh, am in the land. How could they not believe Yahweh when all of this took place and they actually lived through it? I will make a distinction and put a deliverance between my people and your people. Tomorrow shall this sign be, and Yahweh did this. A dense swarms of flies poured into Pharaoh's palace, into his houses, into his clabber milk, his buttermilk, his water, everything that belonged to Pharaoh. That was verse 24. Look at verse 31 closely. And Yahweh did according to the request of Moshe. He removed the flies from Pharaoh, which his magicians could not do, from his officials and from his people. Not one fly remained. Not one. Did you see that? Isn't that beautiful? This is the same Father in heaven, the same Father in heaven that is promised to keep you who have the shadow of Yahweh. Remember those sermons. Look at verse 9. Then Yahweh said to Moshe, go to Pharaoh and tell him, thus says Yahweh, the mighty one of the Hebrews. The mighty one of the Hebrews. You see, that wasn't a sword. That wasn't the upside down sword, by this you will conquer. They had no swords. They had nothing but Yahweh's word. They didn't even need any drugs. Let my people go, that they may worship me. For if you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them back, the hand of Yahweh will bring a terrible plague upon your livestock in the field. This is the armies of Yahweh. Will come upon your livestock in your field, on your horses, on your donkeys, on your camels, upon your sheep and goats and cattle, upon everything you own. He's going to bring this, and they're going to die. Well, this too got their attention. I want you to know all of this, and we'll continue more in this, hopefully, next week, next Sabbath. But it's a wonderful thing what Yahweh shows you right here, and ours is going to be better. Ours is going to be bigger and more well spoken of. We're not going to make the mistakes of Moshe and Aaron. We're not going to make the mistakes of Korah. Right? Right? And we're going to train our children up in Yahweh's way daily. Teach them diligently Yahweh's way, Yahweh's laws, Yahweh's protection. No, you don't need guns. You don't need guns to protect yourself with. You don't need swords or spears. You don't need bombs. Don't get anywhere near bombs. The world is full of them. You know, you're talking about guns, you know, assault rifles. What about assault bombs? Should they not pass some laws against that and stop it? Or will laws even stop it? I think they have some laws against it, don't they? About 1,000? Think of it, brethren. Your ways are slippery. You're like blind men groping for a door. Can't find the handle. Groping in the dark. The thick darkness has come upon them. They can't find a suitable answer. Well, the answer now they got is depopulation. Well, that depopulation, the only thing Yahweh shows there is going to get out of hand. 4/5 of the people are going to be wiped out, but there's not any Catholics, no Catholics among the 2 billion people that are left alive, no Christians, no ISIS, only those who repent of all these religions. Those religions are not serving the Creator. They have no power. The gods have no power at all to save you. Either you serve Yahweh or you will die out there fighting with each other. That's it. They're going to destroy each other. Yahweh's not going to destroy them. I know that the Catholic Church tried to, you know, when they translated the Bible, they made out like Yahweh was doing this and Yahweh did this and this. No, he did not. And no, not one place. And can you ever find that he pulled out a sword and killed somebody? Nor did any of his true servants ever kill anyone. That's right. And the one that did the most killing under the power of this beastly system, King David, he wasn't even allowed to get near Yahweh's house. Did you know that? Did you see that? Yahweh's habitation. There's a name we could use for temple. Habitation. Yahweh's habitation. That's what you could call it. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!